Good afternoon. It is 12:02 here in WASR. And with me today is somebody a little different. Usually we have our police chief, of course, Dean Rondo. But today, in fact, I will even have you meet her virtually. This is Nadine. Hi, Nadine. How are you? How are you? I'm glad to see you. That one's better. Okay. I put you on the wrong microphone. There you go. I think.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, okay. There you are. How are you?
All right. Good.
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 So what's going on with the farmer's market? Tell me all about how it happened.
So the Wolfboro Farmer's Market has been around for 20 years. It's one of the longer standing.
It's in the north of the state anyway. There's markets all over the state. Mm-hmm.
Is there like an association of farmers markets?
There is, yes. Yeah, nationally as well as across the state. And it's pretty much managed, if managing is necessary, by the Department of Agriculture markets in the state. And food. Okay. So the market's been around for 20 years. We've been in many different locations over that time. We've recently moved to the Nick Recreation Park, which is on 28 and Trotting Track Road, which has been a super transition. Really good move. Mm-hmm. So prior to that, we were at Clark Park, which is a lovely park behind the Clark Museum, right in town. Mm-hmm. However, we've grown so much that the parking was a nightmare for many people. I would hear on a weekly basis last year that people would tell me that they drove around the previous week, couldn't find a place to park, and had to leave. So, and especially because we have a huge population of older folks who frequent the market. So that was a problem. And it was a problem for the residents as well. It became there was too much congestion. And so this move to the Nick offers almost limitless parking. There are two very large parking areas where people can utilize parking spaces, and it's easy to get to us. It's easy to see us. The vendors love it because it's much more open. They have space. So it's good. All around, it's good.
All right. My guest this afternoon is Nadine San Antonio. You are the market manager.
That's correct.
That sounds important. What does a market manager do?
Well, the market manager, aside from everything that goes on the day of the market, which is coming up with a field map, showing the vendors where they need to be, how to set up, troubleshoot issues, answer customers' questions. We also operate an ATM for market purposes. So if the vendors don't all take credit cards, they'll take cash, they'll take checks. But when a customer has a credit card, they can come to the market manager's tent and we run it through our ATM and we exchange tokens. So we have market tokens, mm-hmm. and the tokens are exclusively for use at our market. They don't expire. People come the following year if they still have some and they use them. So it's very convenient in that regard. So I'm walking around, I'm visiting with customers, visiting with vendors, just, generally being on hand for anything I'm needed for. Other than that, there's quite a bit of time spent putting up signs for the market around the location and making signs if I need to on our A-frames. I've managed the musicians calendar this year, found sponsors for our musicians. So it goes on and on.
It does.
Many tasks. Yeah.
Have you thought that it would get as big as it got? Or the Wolfboro one anyway? Which is, I was looking at the map going, wow, that's a lot of farmers.
A lot of vendors. A lot of vendors. Yeah. We have, this year there are, it varies because we have guest vendors, but full season or half season vendors are in the 20 to 25 range numbers. Mm-hmm. I think there, historically, I think there have been even a little bit more than that at different times in the past, but this seems to be holding steady this year. Yeah. And they're not all farmers. We have high quality craftsmen that come with jewelry and soaps, different products. We have a new vendor this year, Joe's Pet Treats, who has a variety of dog treats in the form of human food, some of it. There's a cannoli-shaped dog treat that they sell. So it's really fun, yeah.
That's great. Now, yeah. How long have you been with the organization?
I've only been with the organization since March of 2021.
Of course,
I've been a customer.
Right.
But yes, yes.
How did you happen to get involved?
I have a long history in food and in this area specifically. In my adult life, have probably spent close to 40 years doing variety of jobs related to food, mostly owning a food business in town, and then traveling around the country as a chef. And I've learned over the decades that food is vitally important to the health of humans. Mm-hmm. And I have my goal in my own personal career that works really well for the farmers market is to educate people about the food system that is the most healthy for the planet and for the people and the animals that live on the planet.
How has the recent economic upheavals affected the farmers market? Obviously, you know, the price of diesel fuel has gone up, the price of fertilizer has gone up.
Yes.
Et cetera, et cetera. Have you heard from the vendors that, you know, commodity costs are a problem?
Yes. Yeah. It's as much as we as consumers have seen price increases in stores, you can bet that our local farmers are experiencing the same. We have, I would say, mostly organic farmers, so some of the additives that are used on a very large farm are not part of the infrastructure of smaller farms. However, I was just talking with one farmer who also raises hogs, and the price of feed has skyrocketed. And the meat is, and I've looked at other websites of farmers who sell meat, and the prices have increased by $2 or $3 per pound in the last year for a lot of them. And so, yeah, it's tough. It's pretty tough. And I would say now I'm looking at, you know, prices. When I go to the grocery store, I'm looking at the prices of meat specifically. Mm-hmm. And I would say most of, you know, it used to be that people would not purchase vegetables and meat from a farmer at a farmer's market because it was too expensive. That's no longer the case. You can go to the farmer's market and pay at a farmer's market what you're paying in the grocery store. And with the added benefit that head of lettuce was picked that morning, or, you know, that pork shoulder that you're buying is from an animal that had a wonderful life on a small farm, along with, you know, just other pigs and piglets and lots of pasture to graze on. So the quality is much higher, I would suggest, and the price difference is smaller.
Is there a typical farmer's market shopper?
You know, I would say no. I'm experiencing. So I used to go to farmers markets back in the 70s. I mean, that's my history with farmers markets.
It goes back to the old days.
It definitely goes back to the old days. And at that point, I was attending farmers markets that were definitely frequented by younger people. Back in the 70s, I lived in Eugene, Oregon, and the the market there was very colorful, and lots of farmers, and it was kind of a free-for-all. You know, there were fewer regulations. People would show up or they wouldn't show up. It was pretty haphazard. But again, most of the customers would be young. And now, I would say, and it's not only due to the fact that we have an aging population here, but other markets would say the same, that there isn't a typical customer, that customers range in age from, you know, young kids who come with their parents to much older people.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Just as a side benefit of live radio, you'd mentioned that you weren't able to stay with us for the whole hour. Can you tell me what time you need to be off so I can let you know?
So I need to end probably at 20 of 1.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
That's perfectly fine. I'll just make sure that I'll keep an eye on the clock for you. My guest, Nadine San Antonio, the market manager of the Wolfboro Farmers Market. How does somebody become a vendor?
We have an application process, and we put that out to the community in many different ways. I'm also the outreach coordinator for the market, so we send out that application to other areas of the state even. And so a potential vendor would go to our website and find the application and fill it out. We have a variety of ways that they can take part. They can be a full season vendor, which means May to the end of October. They can be a half season, or they can be a guest vendor, which means they could show up twice in that entire time. And many people are doing, anyone who's a guest vendor is doing a variety of markets. So it fits into their schedule. When they're not at another market, they'll be with us. So we go through a process of our goal in finding vendors is, obviously, we're thrilled when people return year after year. That's the bulk of the vendors. This year we probably have, I'm guessing we may have 6-7 new vendors, either returning after a long absence or completely new. We're looking for a variety of goods. We do require that, and this is actually wrapped up in state law, that farmers markets, if they're a nonprofit and connected with the state, they are accepting a certain percentage, an overwhelming percentage, of agriculture-based vendors. That could also mean that somebody making soap is an agriculture-based, or selling wool. If it's based on agriculture, you're good. And then if it's not, then we limit the number of vendors that we have in categories that are more crafts oriented.
Okay, so there's nobody selling, you know, saucepans or
that's right. Like that. Yep, that's right. Yep, exactly. So it's, yeah, and then farmers, of course, we the more the better in terms of vegetable farmers, vegetables, fruit, it's a variety of things. People, even if they're side by side, two farmers are going to sell different things.
Right.
So, yeah, does that answer?
I think it does. Yeah. It answers that question. Now, once somebody becomes a member, there's a small fee, I'm sure.
So they pay an application fee,
right. Mm-hmm.
Which is also a member fee. So anyone who is a full or half season vendor is a member, and that gives them the privilege of attending board meetings and voting, if that's what's happening. We have an annual meeting, and everyone is invited to that.
Now, if I remember right, there was a scheme going on, to use the British term, not that it was an actual scheme of, you know, things like that. Anyway, it was about SNAP dollars, doubling SNAP dollars.
Uh-huh.
And then I had heard that it had expired, but I heard that it had come back again. Is that the case?
That is. Yep. It didn't expire. So.
Oh, I thought it had.
So what we do is we will, so our ATM is set up to accept SNAP.
Oh, okay.
And
so that's how you get the tokens.
So someone will come with their EBT. It's called an EBT card that they use. It's just like a, you know, credit card. And they'll charge a certain amount to their card, and then we'll double the amount.
Okay.
So, and there's a program called the Granite State Market Match, which is an additional program that gives coupons to people, a dollar amount, and they are coupons for just fruits and vegetables. That program for us doesn't incur any charges. It's completely reimbursable. The SNAP double program means that what we've chosen to do is privately fundraise for that account.
Okay.
So we'll do a variety of things. Right now we're running monthly raffles to increase that amount in our account just for SNAP. We've appealed to a couple of food pantries, the Wolfboro Food Pantry and the Wakefield Food Pantry, both of whom were very generous this year in donating to the SNAP account. So we privately fundraise for that.
But there isn't a state donation.
There's a way to apply through a grant. We can apply to a grant.
Sorry about
but
that.
But it's a lot of work. Grants are a lot of work.
Are they?
And there's not always the capacity. I mean, right now we've got we have gotten two or three grants this year, and we're still waiting to hear about a couple of others, but it's a lot of work. I mean, you almost need to hire a full-time grant writer. We can't do that.
I understand. Bureaucracy has to grind on.
Yeah.
Now, you guys, when you set up the market and you've got everybody where they need to go, can they sell things like, is there power if they things like frozen things or refrigerated things.
Yes,
there
because
when I think farmer's market, I'm thinking corn and tomatoes and zucchini and summer squash.
Yeah.
But it's more than that.
Yeah, our food vendors include, it's great this year because they're positioned in the field, they're positioned near the musician. So people come with blankets and sit around, they get their lunch and sit and listen to music. We're also looking for tables and chairs right now to set up a couple, two or three tables for people to sit. And so our food vendors have the capability of plugging in to a brand new electrical box that the NIC so graciously set up for us. So that's been terrific. So we have an ice cream vendor who can plug in her freezer. We have a food truck that serves shave ice and other there's other cooking equipment on their truck, and they can plug in. There's another vendor who has some electrical set up for warming or cooking food, and they plug in. Both of those vendors I just mentioned have generators, but we don't want generators running. Yeah, it's loud.
They're loud, right?
Yeah, they're loud. So it's been really, and the NIC has been amazing to us to just, I mean, they're so welcoming. Holly, the director, has been so welcoming.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
Oh, it's great. It's really great. We're thrilled to be there. And so, she's thrilled to have us. So it's great.
So this looks like the permanent home?
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't know what's in store for the future, but it would be great to continue to be there. Yeah, we're not planning on moving anytime soon.
How have you heard anything from the farmers about climate change? Has that kind of affected the way people grow food, or the way people, the way people even transport it?
I wouldn't say that transportation has been an issue. There's definitely climate change issues for people. I'm not on top of that, so I can't really speak to that knowledge, but I know there's been a lot of scrambling. I mean, just in hearing our farmers talk about this year with, 90 degree temps at some point in May and what we've had for the last 2 days, it's pretty intense. A lot of farmers have high tunnels now, so they'll start much earlier to get food growing in the high tunnels, and then they'll either leave some in the tunnel or start it there and bring it out. And that's a scramble. I mean, when you're looking at temps in, close to 90, but then still temps like in the high 30s at night, it's not conducive to plants growing.
Right.
When it's even in the 40s and in the 70s during the day, everything is pretty slow. It slows down.
I was wondering about the maple crop. I didn't hear anything about it being particularly good or bad, so I guess that's a good thing. I guess it was an average year for maple syrup.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know either. Yeah, we have a few vendors who bring.
But I was I'm sure you could
syrup.
Buy some at the Wolfboro Farmers Market.
Oh, you absolutely can.
Which is
absolutely.
At the NIC. And again, when is it now?
It's Thursday, every Thursday every from 12:30 to 4:30.
Okay.
Yep. And we'll go through the end of October. The musicians are there at that time. We also have story time for kids. That happens at 2:00. We have, throughout the season, there are different workshops. People come in, the following Thursday, Chris is coming in to build us a raised bed. So a mini raised bed that somebody could use for herbs, but it can be magnified on anybody's property into a full-grown raised bed. So she's going to come and demonstrate how to build it, and then we'll raffle it off.
Great.
To the people who are doing the workshop. Yeah, there's a lot going on. I mean, I was thinking the other day, it's like there's a festival in this area in Wolfboro every Thursday. People come, and there's food, and there's laughter and music and stories and kids running around. We have a lot of dogs that show up. There's a playground right there for people to shop with us and then go to the playground with their kids. And yeah, there's a lot going on. It's really great.
That's terrific.
It's really great. Yeah. I also want to just say again that relate a little bit about the pandemic for the last few years. So it was very clear, this is the third summer that we've all been living with this. And
right.
the first summer that this pandemic was going on, the farmers market was more crucial than ever in people's lives, in customers' lives. I mean, it was a little bit scary going into the stores, and we were, you know, we're an outdoor market, so people felt a little safer. We made huge amends to keep the vendors further apart, keep customers further apart. We had set up an area where people needed to be distanced in order to go into purchase, make their purchases, and just generally, I mean, when you go to the store and you couldn't find what you needed for food, chances are you could go to the farmer's market and find it.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Now, can you also buy things to make things? Like, for instance, if I wanted to buy, say, a coffee maker or a pasta maker or something like that, do you have people that sell things like that, or is it more the just products?
No. Yeah. No. It's we don't have anything like that. Okay. Yeah.
My guest this afternoon, Nadine San Antonio. She's the market manager at the Wolfboro Farmers Markets every Thursday afternoon at the Nick, which is a great place as well. Tell me a little bit about some of the more uncommon things at the market. Like you had mentioned soaps earlier, you know, handmade soaps is not something a lot of people love them, but it's not like you can find them everywhere.
Well, that's true. And let's see, we have a vendor who recently opened up also a little shop at her home, but mm-hmm. she comes to the market and she grows herbs, and then she'll turn them into tinctures and lotions.
Oh.
She sells her herbs in fresh or dried form. So that's something that, and people buy herbs and tinctures that can be oils that can be used medicinally or for culinary purposes.
Mm-hmm. It was just not something you can buy on Amazon.
Well, it probably is, because you can buy anything on Amazon, right?
Yeah, maybe.
But do you want to support, you know, something from far, far away, or do you want to support
right.
something that's, you know, grown right here and made right here? That's what makes her product that much more special.
Now, when you say right here, you don't necessarily have to live or work in Wolfboro to be a member.
You do not. No, we will accept vendors within a certain radius of our area. For instance, we have, and we don't even say, you know, you have to live in New Hampshire. We have people that come from just over the border in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wonderful goat cheese maker, a goat farmer and goat cheese maker that comes from, what is that town? Is it Denmark, Maine? Is that just over the border? It's close to Freiburg. I think it's Denmark. And then another one who is over the border in Parsonsfield.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be coming with, and they're also foragers, so they collect things in the woods, like mushrooms.
I was just going to say, like mushrooms,
yeah.
or even truffles or whatever.
Not truffles, but
I love wild mushrooms.
Yeah. They'll be coming, and right now is not quite the season for that.
Right.
We need the rain for that. But they'll come with. But they just finished actually supplying the Wolfboro Co-op with fiddleheads.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So seasonality is important. You know, we've followed the months of what nature provides in terms, like right now, strawberries. I mean, you got to get to the market to get New Hampshire strawberries. I mean, one of our farmers showed up with, I think he had like 12 cases of, he brought 12 cases of strawberries which means 8 quarts to a case. And within the first hour, he sold 10.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot of strawberries.
Well, I'm marketing on, you know, I do the Facebook posts, and we also do MailChimp. So we send out emails to our mailing list every week. So people knew. but also people do tend to come early. We have lines of people waiting for us to ring that bell. And we do ring a bell at 12:30. That's when the market begins. And there are people lined up at 12:15 to start purchasing. It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
What is some of the or the best parts of your job?
Talking to people. Yeah. Yeah. I you know, I've lived here for almost 40 years, which is phenomenal to me. And I run into people. I worked out of state for quite a while, in the last 20 years, and I run into people I haven't seen in a very long time, which is always fun. And I'm always running into people that I'm meeting for the first time. Mm-hmm. And people are very excited about coming to the market. And that, I would say, is the most fun. Yeah.
Is there or are there plans at some point maybe to look at more hours or more days?
No.
Or right now, this is all that we can handle at this point.
Yeah, I think so. It's a 4-hour market when other markets in the area actually do less. Like Tamworth, I think, does 3. It's too, people need to work on their product then bring it to the market. So for farmers, you know, it's okay that they're at a market for 4 hours, but I'll bet every farmer has going through their minds each minute of those 4 hours what there is to do on the farm when they get back. It's pretty busy. It's a busy life.
Mm-hmm. All right. We are coming up on time, so we'll end it here with Nadine San Antonio, the market manager, the vivacious market manager of the Wolfboro Farmers Market. You wanted to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to put in a little plug for our raffle.
Oh, absolutely. Go
so
ahead.
We have a beautiful hand-woven basket from a collective in Ghana. It's gorgeous. And we have products that vendors are donating to put into that basket. So we're running a raffle each month of the season, all the way through October. And people purchase tickets, and then we'll pull a winning ticket at the end of the month. Actually, this month we'll do it on the 23rd, because we'll also be raffling the raised bed on the following week. So the basket will be raffled off. And this basket comes filled with greens, spinach, and lettuce from Mountain Heartbeat Farm, a donated potted plant from Naoko Sears, who's another vendor. Let's see. I'm donating a potted tomato plant that needs to go into the ground, as well as potted basil. Mm-hmm. And we have seeds donated from an organic seed company. What else? So maybe a couple of other things I'm not recalling. But we'll be doing this every month. So people should come and purchase tickets. And the tickets will stay in the basket. So you purchase, your ticket isn't going to be taken out the following month. It'll stay in there. So
Thursday afternoons. You said 12:30 to 4:30?
12:30 to 4:30.
At the Nick.
Yes.
All right. Nadine, thank you for being with us. We really do appreciate you spending some time with WASR today.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric. Thanks
and,
for the
happy
time.
Happy Juneteenth, everybody, by
the
way.
Yeah. All right. Excellent.
It is 12:37. More great music on WASR. Have a good day.